Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Brain Turns. I'm Monkey Arms.
I'm T-Rex.
And I'm Mrs.
And
T-Rex.
And we've got... Whoa.
He pointed at me and told me to go.
I didn't even get to introduce. Whoa.
I just...
Another voice. This
just
is quality,
had her jump
people.
Right in.
We clearly planned that.
We're not perfect.
We're not winging this at all. This show is thought out. We have a pre-huddle meeting before every show, clearly.
We have some long arms.
It's working
Our
out
Our staff
great.
Meeting is not really all that organized. We're going to have to fire the staff.
Shit.
We're screwed.
Fire the staff. Well, let's not talk about firing in these trying times right now. I mean, hell, everybody's out of work. No, we just spent, how long did we spend? It felt like an hour, but it was probably only like 20 minutes trying to get things set up here to continue to do this show remotely.
It was closer to an hour.
Trying to do a three-way and not the way that sounds, or maybe the way that sounds. I don't know. We're trying to do a three-way here, and it wasn't working, so now we're back down to a two-way.
But there's still three of us.
There's still three of us, but now we're doing a two-way. Somebody is a third wheel. I don't want to say who it is. I think we all know.
Why do I got a feeling that there's eyes pointed at me everywhere?
You're picking up what I'm putting down. I appreciate that, Mark. You know your place in this show, and that's all I ask for. Okay, so we're cutting the tension. On this episode, we're still in the midst of everything. We are still talking about Corona and not the alcohol, which, by the way, I just want to throw out there. Why are people afraid to buy Corona as a beer now? Are we that fucking stupid that we can't differentiate the two, that one is a virus and one is a beverage? Because Corona's still on the shelves, people.
Not only is Corona still on the shelves, all alcohol is still on the shelves. Nobody's buying any of it, which is shocking.
I'm drinking like horse piss right now. I'm drinking Coors Light. So
Coors Light's not horse piss.
Everybody up here says that Coors Light is horse piss. I love it. Coors Light is my go-to.
They probably drink Bud Light too. That's horse piss.
You know, I don't know. I think most of the people that say I drink horse piss are typically those guys that have the really long beards and the really long mustache with the handlebars going. So they don't know what they're talking about. This is Midwestern stuff.
And
Coors Light is where it's at. Rockies, baby. Or the Flatland cornfields, whatever. So on this episode, we're trying to break down a little bit. We're getting perspective. One of the cool things about Zencastr and Podomatic, basically all of the formats that we use to record our show, is actually encouraging people to kind of talk about COVID-19 and how it's affecting everyone individually. And that's something that we've been doing before we even knew that that's what was encouraged. And we've had my perspective. We've had Dipshit's perspective. And now we're going to get Tyra's perspective. Now we're going to get an actual brain's perspective.
I was going to say, you said dipshit. We got Trump's perspective on this?
So I want to put it out there. Tyra is a teacher. English teacher, is that correct? I feel like I should know this.
Yes. Yep.
Okay, English teacher.
Yes, you should.
So,
but yes, you're English.
I know. Before we get into it, you mentioned Donald Trump. I wanted to say something real quick. Have you guys saw that Trump now says that he wants to reopen the U.S. in 3 weeks or less against advice of doctors who want to keep things shut down to kind of get this COVID-19 out of the works? Have you guys heard about that?
No.
I have actually heard just briefly that, yeah, he's starting to talk about opening it up no matter what. He doesn't really care. He just wants his market to go back up. That's all I've really
right.
heard.
I mean, there's an article on here that actually says that Donald Trump says he intends to reopen the United States from its coronavirus shutdown sooner than in the 3 or 4 months that a lot of experts are predicting that it's going to be locked down for or should be locked down for. He's actually mentioned that he's considering lifting the mandate for the shutdown after the White House 15-day period, mandated period shutdown has ended. I mean, there's a lot of concern that he's actually going to try and get things going again after this 15-day mandated period is over. And if that's the case, I mean, we're all kind of fucked then, because the virus is, I mean, 80% of us are going to end up getting the virus anyway. Yeah, but they keep talking about flattening the curve and keeping it from spreading as quickly. But he's going out there now and he's trying to sweep a lot of this stuff under the rug and now tell us that it's not as bad and we're winning the war against the invisible enemy and all that stuff. when he's going against what the doctors are saying, what all the experts are saying. Well, I mean, what if he tries to put things back in play after this 15-day mandate?
He can put them back in play all he wants, Justin. But so long as you've got the CDC and WHO saying, no, don't do that, who the hell are you really going to fucking listen to? Him?
Right.
Or the WHO and CDC?
Well, I'm not concerned about who I'm going to listen to. I'm concerned about who the people who voted him are going to listen to. I mean, they clearly don't make good choices to begin with. Sorry if that's offensive. But yeah. That's brain turds.
No, it's true. I'm sorry.
He literally tweeted out in all capital letters. He's like, we cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself. At the end of the 15-day period, we will make a decision as to which way we want to go. That's what he said in a tweet. There is no decision to be made after 15 days because 15 days doesn't fucking fix shit.
Well, see, that's going to be the thing is we're going to wind up jumping. Like you said, the curve is going to go way up. So now that we're going to spike, we don't have the respirators. So who's going to suffer? It's going to be the old people and the people with health problems. They're the ones that are going to suffer through this. They're the ones that are going to probably wind up dying because this dipshit in office wants his fucking stock market to go up because heaven forbid, you know, the market would go down and some of these rich fuckers would lose a little bit of money.
And that's literally all it's about. It's about getting the market back up. You know, we all know that. Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that he kept saying is he was like, you know, this country wasn't built to stop. This country wasn't made to shut down. Well, of course. I mean, what country is? Common sense. But in trying times like this where nobody could have foreseen what was going to happen, you still have to take action and suffer some of the consequences. But isn't the consequence of the economy taking a hit better than the consequence of losing millions of lives?
Well, I would definitely agree with that. I was trying to remember where the guy was. There was a lieutenant governor from some state, I want to say Texas, that basically said, you know, he thinks that, you know, some grandparents would be willing to take a hit just so the economy would be better for their grandchildren and children. And I'm thinking, so basically you're saying that the hit is your grandparents are willing to die so that you could have a little bit of money later. I doubt that. I just don't see grandparents going, you know what? Fuck it. I'll go ahead and die so that you can have some money when you get older.
I don't see your parents saying that, but hey, I'm reading a HuffPost tweet right now. And it says, against the advice of medical professionals, President Trump wants to scale back social distancing and reopen the economy in the middle of a coronavirus pandemic. And then the New York Times an hour ago says the Prime Minister India gave 1.3 billion people less than 4 hours notice before announcing a total lockdown. It's the biggest and most severe action undertaken anywhere to stop the spread of the coronavirus. And he's ordering a 3-week lockdown.
Well, and you know what? This is perfect practice of Donald Trump deciding that he doesn't like a situation and thinking that he can just decide that the situation is not going to be what it is and sweep everything under the rug and say that everything's great and fine and dandy. And I think he truly believes that if he paints the picture well enough that everything's good and there's no concern and we're winning this battle, and if he just keeps saying that eventually it makes it truth, and that just doesn't happen. But that's how Donald Trump approaches everything that he doesn't like. He just decides how he wants something to be, and he just keeps talking about it in a positive manner until all of a sudden it just happens in his mind. Well, and that's not going to work here, but I think that's what he's trying to do.
Well, and he's in a feud right now with that Dr.
Oh yeah.
F guy, whatever his name is, because he touted out that some chlora drug or what, I don't, some
right. I'm familiar with what you're speaking of.
And this some dude drank it.
Yes, yeah,
and died over it because Trump said it was going to be a game changer, and I'm like, seriously, and I posted, it's like, seriously, how fucking stupid are people? And then I had a meme underneath of it, which was Baby Yoda.
Chloroquine. Sorry to interrupt you, but it was chloroquine.
Yeah, chloroquine. Yes. And it's how dumb you are, or how dumb something. Oh, God, now I can't even remember what it was. But I mean, it was like,
well, that's a
dumb
game.
You are. It was Yoda. No, it wasn't even Baby Yoda. It was Yoda. Dumb you are. And I said, seriously, just how stupid are his followers / supporters? Because it says a man reportedly died after ingesting a substance used to clean fish tanks.
Well, it's a game changer. Right.
Yeah, it definitely is a game changer. But because Trump said that it was a game changer in the fight against the coronavirus. Okay, Trump is not a fucking doctor.
Well, and you know what else is yeah, this feud that he's kind of got going with this doctor now. There's actually rumors and concern that he's probably going to end up firing this doctor. And I guess he was not on the podium with them during this last briefing that they did. But that's because this doctor has publicly disagreed with how long it's going to take to get a coronavirus vaccine and how effective the anti-malaria drug chloroquine could actually be, because we don't know. But Trump is out there saying, okay, we're going to have it done by this date. Chloroquine is effective and it's a major breakthrough. And that's just not the case. And this doctor, if you watch him when they're up there on the podium, he just can't take it. And he goes up there and you can tell he's frustrated and he's trying to tell facts while Trump is trying to tell lies. And it's just a freaking mess. But then you've still got people out there singing Trump's praise. And that's what scares the out of me.
Well, and you've got there's a coronavirus task force briefing at 5:30 today at the White House.
Well, you know what? I think I will be tuning in for that because I got to see what the hell this Cheeto man's going to say. I mean, goddamn. If he the only thing I could say is I live in New York State. Okay, not New York City, but I live in New York State. And we are the hardest hit state that we know of out of the country. And that's because we're doing more tests than any state in the country, which obviously more tests is going to mean more positives, you know, whatever. You're not stupid. You get that. You understand that more tests means more positive and makes it seem like we have more people infected when, you know, Pennsylvania could have just as many people infected if they did more tests. We are the doorway to America, being New York State. I get that. So, yeah, we've got a higher density population. We've got more people infected. It's a lot easier to transmit stuff here. So I just can't imagine that if he decides to drop social distancing and try and get the economy back going again after the 15-day mandate, that New York State will actually participate in that. Because Governor Cuomo, in my personal opinion, has done one hell of a job with this whole situation. And I just can't see him getting on board with, okay, yeah, well, the president says that we're done with social distancing. Let's just be done with it after we know how quick it's spreading here. I just don't see how that would happen.
Well, I don't see Cuomo doing that because Cuomo didn't wait for him to be Cuomo went ahead and shut down New York and got with who'd you say, Massachusetts and who was the other state?
Connecticut.
Yeah. So, He got all those three together, and they all decided, you know what? Screw the president. We're going to go ahead and close shit down. So I don't think if Trump says fuck the social distancing, I don't think Cuomo's going to do that.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think Illinois will do it. I don't think Ohio will do it. To be honest with you, I really don't think Indiana will do it.
Yeah, I would certainly hope not because, I mean, like I said, you know, they've made it clear that 80% of us is going to end up getting this. And I believe that. I think it's true. But again, it's not that we're trying to prevent everyone from getting it. We're trying to prevent how fast it's spreading. So I get that. One of the first major things, because Tyra, we have you on the show for a reason, and I don't want to just talk about other stuff. We already killed about 15 minutes of this show. But one of the things that first happened that was kind of an oh shit moment, this is starting to get real, was the fact when a couple people tested positive, at least up here, that worked in schools. And so then came the question, are they going to close down schools? Uh-huh. And if they close down schools, what's going to happen to students? What's going to happen to parents who were still working at the time and all of that? What's going to happen to teachers? So you as an English teacher, can you give us a brief kind of description as to how this has affected you or how you've seen it affect students and so forth. And depending on how long schools are shut down, what do you think is the future of this whole situation?
Okay, well, we found out, let's say we have already had one full week. We're on our second week now of remote learning, distance learning. And we found out Friday after school was out that we were going to go e-learning. And all we were told was we got an email that said, remind your eighth period students to take their computers and chargers home with them. And that was all we were told. Well, of course, you know, teachers were smart enough to realize what was going on. And any student who was smart enough to realize what was going on knew what was going to happen. So we knew that we were going to go e-learning. And we were originally told we would be back April 20th. And they extended our spring break. We ended up getting 2 weeks spring break instead of one spring break or 1 week spring break. So that, and we were initially given 20 days waiver from the governor. And then when we came back, we were going to have to jump right back into standardized testing. And that's the way it was going to be with everybody. And that's nationwide. We were going to have to do that because standardized testing is coming up starting at the end of April, beginning of May. So everybody wanted to be back for that. So we didn't, you know, because that's where you get your funding from, your federal funding. And so everybody jumped into e-learning. And not every school does e-learning. So like if you have a snow day or something like that, you know, two of the previous schools that I've worked with have done e-learning. So if you had a snow day or you did e-learning and you didn't have to make up the day, well, the school that I currently work for, the corporation I currently work for, does not do e-learning. So if you lose a day because of snow, you have to make it up at the end. That they do have days that are built in. So you get like two or maybe 3 days built in. But anything more than that, you have to make them up. So we went from you don't have any e-learning to, hey, you're doing e-learning. You need to crash course over the weekend and come up with some sort of plan to present to your students.
Yeah. So you didn't get a whole lot of time to do that. Now, is the e-learning something that you guys are still currently doing, or is it just kind of like kids are now homeschooled and it's up to the parents?
No, it is. People are calling it homeschooled, but we are still doing e-learning, and that's the majority. It's all the schools around us. So where we used to live, where we live now, the corporation I worked for when you were still here, they're all doing e-learning. All the teachers that I've known for the past 20 years, all their corporations are doing e-learning. It's not a homeschool thing.
So you're still very much involved in the students' lives and everything. So you're still sending out assignments. You're still grading work and things like that. So I did not know that was how it was working right now. I assumed a lot of kids were just kind of on their own for however long this takes.
No, and that is the majority of the nation, is that's what they're doing. Colleges are doing the same thing. As a matter of fact, Purdue went the rest of the semester. It is all e-learning. It's all your classes are online. I believe IU did the same thing. Notre Dame did the same thing. And I don't know about any other Indiana colleges.
So how difficult is that for you now? So just kind of give me an idea, walk me through what a typical school day is for you. I mean, are you still essentially working Monday through Friday? Like, what does a day look like for you now compared to actually going in and teaching?
We do 3 days of e-learning and 2 days off. And that's simply just to give kids, you know, time to get everything done, to spread it out, so they're not trying to cram all this stuff in on their own. That way, if they have questions, they can get a hold of us via office hours. That Zoom thing that I sent you a little bit ago when we were trying to figure this out is one of the ways that I connect with my students face to face. And they sent us, I saw an email a little bit ago, they sent us another one. Cisco something or other is another way that they have enabled us to connect face to face with our students, so that if I want to have like an actual classroom, I can set it up, they can join in, they can be in their classroom, and I can have a classroom here. They can see what I'm doing on my screen, or if I, all I have to do is flip the screen around and they can see, like if I had a wall with a whiteboard on it or something, I can show them like, hey, here's a projector, here's a screen, this is what you're looking at. So I can project something on a wall and say, look at this, this is what I'm talking about. Who can tell me, you know, based on this paragraph, what's the main idea, you know, stuff like that. So I can still have a normal classroom. They're just doing it in their house.
Yeah. So that definitely wasn't the impression that I had at all. I assumed that everybody was on just like the super extended spring break kind of thing. And so I thought, well, now all these kids are homeschooled. It's up to the parents to teach them. And what's that going to look like once they do actually go back? So my other question for you is, at least up here in Rochester, New York, a lot of the kids here in the city and stuff really relied on that school lunch, or they would get breakfast at school. And I mean, that's at least one, if not sometimes two meals a day that these kids actually relied upon. Do you have to deal with anything like that? Did you have kids that you think rely on these meals? And is there anything going on in your particular community that has helped with that? Because up here, they have done certain like breakfasts and free meals and things like that for these students that now can't participate in it because of school closures.
Okay, so my school is like the poor of the poor of the poor. Yeah. But my corporation as a whole are putting together lunches, breakfasts and lunches for anybody in that county. So if you have school age children in that county, you can come and pick up 5 pre-packaged meals that consist of 5 breakfasts and 5 lunches for however many students you have.
I was going to say, I was definitely concerned about that because, I mean, that's something that I think the everyday layman person just doesn't think about anymore. I mean, people haven't been in school for years. And if you don't have kids, it's just not something you think about. And then you're like, oh, shit, this is actually a problem. And how many kids rely on this? So what is typically the age group that you teach now?
Oh, I teach 7th grade. So I work with, and then my building is 6th, 7th, and 8th grade.
Was there any kind of period in time when you guys kind of got the word that you would be going to e-learning that you had to have any kind of like sit down and understanding with these kids as to what was going to happen? Is there an understanding as to what is going on?
Yeah, my kids are, I don't know, how old are you in the 7th grade? 12, 13, 14 are my age groups of kids. And I told them, oh, I don't know, probably a week before we got the final notification that they would probably, I said, there's no matter what, we will eventually end up shut down. It's just a matter of when and how long, because you could see the writing on the walls. It was evident it was coming because other corporations had already, or other states had already closed campuses and whatnot, schools, colleges had already closed. So it was just a matter of time. Let's see, the Thursday and Friday before we closed, I had sat down with all of my kids and said, okay, nothing's going to change. You're still going to be expected to do this, this, and this. We are still using the same platforms that I have used all year long as far as my learning management systems. So they're still submitting assignments and things the same way they have been all year long. It is absolutely no different that way. The only difference is they're doing a lot of the work on their own simply by reading instructions first and then...
Which may not be a bad thing, I would assume.
What you would think, but let me tell you how hard it is for a middle school student to read something before they just jump in and assume they know what's going on.
Sure.
And that is extreme. I mean, it's just like men, you have something you have to put together. How many of you actually look at the instructions before you put something together? You don't,
to
and
be
you
fair.
Know it.
To be fair, I pull out the instruction booklet and I look at it. And then I toss it aside and I try to put it together by myself first. But I look at it. You said look. You didn't say read. I just want to make that clear.
You pick it up and you go, oh, those are the instructions. I looked at it and flip them over to the side. Well, and then yes. You bitch and complain.
That's not 100% true. I will flip through looking for pictures.
After you can't figure out what goes where.
Well, first you look at the box, and when you see the box, you see the picture of what it's supposed to look like, and you try to build what's right there, and then you go, I fucked that up. So now you get the instructions, and you look at each individual
right
picture.
Right.
And how much easier was it the other night when I put that desk together, and I said, this goes next, and this goes next, because I read the instructions.
Well, I think we all have a process.
If I'd been by myself, I'd have figured it out.
Yeah, we all have a process to learn. Yes. To learning, and that's Mark and I's process. I think we're
right,
good at
but
it.
Like I said, with with middle school students, if they don't, you know, if they don't read the instructions, they're not going to know how to do something, especially when at seventh grade, a lot of the stuff that they're doing is new. They've not done this,
and that's,
or they've not heard it called that, so they don't know it.
That's what's also interesting about this entire thing is there's no way to have really a plan in place to prepare any part of the school facility for this. Just like there's no plan in place, and none of us know what's going to happen when we're all going to go back to work. None of us know what the economy is going to look like afterwards. There's no plan for it, so we're all literally just winging it. And that's what's scary.
Yes, that is true. I know Indiana schools have been closed until at least May 1st, if not the rest of the year. Purdue, like I said, Purdue closed out the rest of their spring semester.
Right. And I honestly have no idea when schools will be opening up back here. But as an individual, I mean, everyone on this show has heard how this is affecting me. We've heard how it's affecting Mark. I mean, how's it affecting you? Clearly, none of us has ever seen anything like it. How do you, I guess, cope day to day?
If somebody shuts Trump up and actually makes him see how bad this thing is, I honestly don't see us going back to school this year. I see us finishing the year on e-learning.
Yeah, I can see that.
They have canceled the standardized tests for this year, which is a good thing because, well, the standardized tests are stupid anyway.
I've heard a lot of people say that too.
Oh, most teachers think they are. They're worthless. They give us a snapshot of the kid for one day and that's it.
And you know what's crazy is that's something we should be having a deeper conversation about, but that's all small potatoes right now considering everything else that we're dealing with.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Exactly. You know, my day, it's actually more work for me to do it this way,
I would imagine, yeah.
Than it is, I'd much rather go to school.
And so leave us with one more thing. What is your recommendation for everyone going forward? Because now we're getting close to the 30 minutes, so we're about to wrap it up. So what's your recommendation?
Do something fun with your kids. Do some face-to-face time with the kids. Read a novel with the kid. Talk about it. Have a discussion. Find some articles. Read the articles. Just get the kids active, but do some face-to-face time with them. I found new vocab games to play. Found a new, it's called Educandy, and it's a place where the kids can go and play games to learn their vocab words. Who doesn't like to play games? So just things like that. Go outside and write a description of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, just to get the kids writing.
I definitely think this is a time now when people can explore some things that they haven't really thought about in a long time, because we all do have a lot more time. Well, maybe not you, as you just made clear, it's a lot more difficult for teachers. It's a lot more difficult for really anybody working at home, even doctors and nurses, anybody who's still out there. But like people like myself, who now I'm on shutdown, Mark potentially, you know, we don't know, could be on shutdown. I think people are realizing that they have a lot more time. And I think now's the time maybe to look at the silver lining and, yeah, kind of explore things that you haven't been able to explore or enjoy things you haven't been able to enjoy, because what the fuck else are we going to do, right? And like you said, with the students and stuff, keep your mind active. That's the main thing. Read a book, play an educational game, keep your mind active. Don't let your body or your mind go to mush in this difficult time.
And it's like,
I like your suggestions.
I wrote down my grades earlier so I could get them entered, you know, so I wrote them all down so I have them in one place. But you wouldn't believe the number of kids that I have that have simply not logged on and done anything.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm going to have to start making phone calls here in just a few minutes. And
get on them. Get on them.
I have to call over half of my students.
Teacher Tyra's coming for all of you little kiddos if you're listening, and she's going to get you.
Oh, yeah.
Mark, what about you? You got anything to wrap us up with?
I think people just, you know, talk to your kids about what's going on, but, you know, try not to make it fearful. You know, I mean, I think that's part of the big problem is everybody's panicking. I mean, yeah, you want to keep your social distance and everything, but, you know, don't panic. There's no need to scare everybody.
Yes.
You know, you just got to claim, you know, just got to be calm about it and explain it to them that, hey, this is a serious situation, but
we will bounce back.
Yeah, we'll bounce back. Yeah. We'll get through this. I mean,
And we've always
gotten through this shit.
Exactly like you said, stay alert, but not panicked. If people could remember that, I think we'd be a lot better off. But yeah, Tyra, I appreciate you coming on here. Thank you for giving us a perspective from a teacher.
Had fun. Always do.
And I'm sure we're going to have you on here again. We've been talking so much about this lately. And it's not like we're trying to bore people about it, but as Mark and I had said before, what the fuck else are we going to talk about? We'll have you on here again. I want to get some perspectives from lots of different people. So if anybody is interested in giving their side of it, we still ask that you like, comment. You can follow us on brainturds.podomatic.com. We're on iTunes, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Spotify. Apparently now we're on this thing called Player FM. I did not know about that until recently. So Player FM, we're on there as well. And then we're on Podcast Addict, not podaddict.com, which I guarantee you Mark has not Googled yet to share with us. I always encourage people.
To Google that.
What is it called? Pod Addict?
No, it's not called Pod Addict. It's called Podcast Addict. But Mark, on a couple episodes ago, said potted dick. And then I encouraged him to Google it. He hasn't Googled it yet. So he needs to get on there and Google that. So I also always say, if Mark can use
Was it his dick he potted?
Maybe. I don't know. We didn't get the details on it. I always encourage people, though, if Mark can use Podcast Addict, that means you can use Podcast Addict. So please get on there and give us a shout.
Take it easy.